He may work for the most talked about presidential campaign and candidacy in 2016, but Corey Lewandowski, Donald Trump's campaign manager, comes from modest means, having grown up in Lowell. Welcome to Reset. 40 is the new happy, a celebration of people who believe enough in themselves to do whatever it takes to find fulfillment in their careers. I'm Mike Morin. Corey is a familiar figure here in New Hampshire as well as nationally, having spent several years with Americans for Prosperity, also working in public affairs, lobbying, real estate, even ran for public office while attending UMass Lowell. But Corey, you never slung hash or worked at a pizza joint along University Ave in Lowell?
I did have jobs like that. As a matter of fact, I delivered pizzas for a place on Lakeview Avenue in Lowell, so absolutely did that job.
So this podcast puts me face-to-face with everybody, you know, who essentially finds that fearless gene within themselves. Where did yours come from?
Well, it's about hard work and determination and finding something that you like to do and going out and doing it. And, you know, I think that cliche is often overused, but once you find something you really like and have the opportunity to do, it's not really like going to work. And so I've had some great opportunities in my life, and part of it is from hard work and part of it is luck, like everything else. And knowing that if you never give up and you keep trying and you do something different, once you find what you actually love to do, you'll have the opportunity to do that if you keep trying and you'd be successful. And had the opportunity in college to intern at the State House down in Boston and really found it to be exciting and exhilarating. And after college, I went down to Washington, D.C. right away and started graduate school and started interning on Capitol Hill and knew just instinctively that that's part of what I want to do, which was try and change the country for the better through the political process, and have been involved ever since.
So I found this quote about you on Politico.com. He's a good guy, but he's a bomb thrower, which sounds like a compliment to me. What's your take on that?
Well, I like the first half of it, I guess, being a good guy. I guess it's hard to find sometimes. Look, politics is a tough business. There's no question about it. And if you're going to be successful, sometimes you're going to ruffle feathers, and sometimes you're going to do things that your boss wants you to do, whoever that boss may be, that maybe makes other people angry. Politics is it's a contact sport. Let's not forget that. This is very serious. The direction of our country is at stake. The future of our country is at stake. And so if some people say I'm a good guy, I'll take that as a compliment. And some people say I'm tough and dedicated and focused to what I'm doing, I'll take that as a compliment as well.
You seem to be able to swim upstream, though, against conventional, I guess, opinion at times. And it seems to roll off your back. I mean, you seem to have a higher tolerance for doing that to succeed. Would you say that's true?
Well, here's what I think. I think in this industry, regardless of who you are, if you read everything that is said about you or you listen to all of what the pundits say about you and all the failures that you're going to go through, then you'll never be successful. So I've been fortunate enough to have a position in my life where, honestly, while I don't want to say I don't care what other people think, because I do, because my family is very important to me, I think if I can go and put a good hard day's work in and do it to the best of my ability, and if that incites criticism for some things, I'm okay with that, because at the end of the day, the people that I am accountable to are obviously my boss, but also my family, and making sure that what I'm doing and can do is important to those people, and if I can be respectful and treat people with respect, I think that's okay with me.
So I listed a few of the things you did. I know I just barely skimmed over it, and you mentioned some of the things that got you to where you are. But were you truly prepared for what you've called the greatest job in politics and what it's been so far?
This is by far the greatest job in politics. It's unlike anything I have ever been able to do in my life or my career, and it's so unique. And I'm very, very spoiled, having worked now for Mr. Trump for the last 11 months. To see and learn things that I never knew even existed, not only in politics, but in business and in negotiating deals and understanding bigger picture. I don't know if I was prepared for it, but every day I wake up and I'm thankful and grateful, candidly, to have this amazing opportunity and hope I can do as well by him as I'm possible and able to do.
And when you wake up every day, you know, just looking back at the last week or so, you never really know, you know, what you're going to have to deal with, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, look, I'm so fortunate because I have a boss who is just he's a perfectionist. He demands excellence in everything that he does, and I try and do that of our staff here as well. But, you know, we run our campaign like you would run a business, because that's what Mr. Trump expects, and that's what he demands, and that's what we should do. We watch every dollar as if it were our own, because it is, because he's funding the whole campaign. And so we're very cautious about how we spend money. We're very cautious of what we do. We try and make the best deals for everything we do. Our office hours are, you know, we require 15-hour days from everybody who works for the campaign, basically. And that's because that is a leadership trait that starts at the very top of this organization with Mr. Trump, where, you know, many, many occasions he's doing television and radio shows starting anywhere from 5:30 in the morning, and he's finishing at 11, 12 o'clock at night every night. And so we expect that excellence from everybody who works for us.
And you've got to be a very flexible person, because I was at the Today Show broadcast at Atkinson, New Hampshire a few weeks ago, and he was asked to stay later, and I know that you probably had a tight schedule, so you have to be ready to turn on a dime and essentially do what he wants to do, right?
Well, at the end of the day, right, Mr. Trump is the boss. His name is not only on the door, but he's on the building, and it's on many, many buildings. And, you know, what we try and do is we try and put him in a position where he can be as successful as possible, and that's with the staff assistance that we provide and the logistics support that we provide him so that he can be as successful as possible. That's what we try and do. But at the end of the day, you know, if Mr. Trump wants to stay and do something which wasn't originally scheduled, of course that's what we do, because that's what he wants to do, and we're here to make sure that his job, which is running for president of the United States right now, is as fundamentally unflawed as possible, if that can be done.
Corey, how did you and the Trump for President campaign connect initially?
I was very fortunate. Last April, a year ago April, I was hosting an event in New Hampshire with a series of potential presidential candidates, and a number of senators came and governors, and we invited Mr. Trump, and he came and made a presentation. It actually took place at the Yard in Manchester, and he came and gave a speech, and I had followed up with a thank you note for his attendance, and followed up after that a few times, and then I received a phone call from a mutual friend who said, would you like to go see Mr. Trump in New York in late December? I said, of course. The night before the meeting would have taken place, my friend called and said, hey, I can't make it. It's just you and Mr. Trump tomorrow. And I actually wasn't sure what the meeting was about, and had a great meeting with Mr. Trump in early January. And from there, literally on the spot, he offered me a position to run the campaign. He was fully convinced at the time that he was going to run for president of the United States and that he was going to win. He convinced me within 20 seconds of having the initial conversation, and it has been just a phenomenal experience for me, and I think it's going to turn out very well for the country.
So talk a little bit about the challenges of trying to spend time with your wife and children when you are away from home so much. That's got to be difficult.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I'm very fortunate that I've had the privilege of being married, you know, for more than a decade, which is important. I've got four great kids who are between the ages of 4 and now 9 in the Wyndham school system. And the tough part is, you know, my job is in New York. And if it's not in New York, as an example, next week we'll be in Illinois and Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Iowa, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Massachusetts, and then South Carolina. That's our travel schedule next week. And so, you know, the life, work, family balance is a difficult thing. But my wife understands it. I mean, I've known my wife for 28 years. So this is not a new phenomenon, right? I've known her since she was in eighth grade and I was a freshman in high school. And, you know, when you have a great support system at home, it makes your job a lot easier. And while I know it's difficult on her and the kids, you know, they understand what we're trying to accomplish here is very, very important for the future generations.
You know, I don't usually ask this question on this podcast because most of my subjects pretty much are where they want to go and probably won't do anything beyond, but you're still pretty young, and if your candidate wins, would you hope to have an advisory position in his administration, or what is your dream?
You know, I'm so blessed I'm living my dream right now, right? If somebody would have told me growing up in Lowell, Massachusetts, that I would have an office in Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue overlooking where, you know, the Pope just was just a few short weeks ago, with a balcony and having the opportunity to talk to one of the most successful, wealthiest people in the history of the planet on a daily basis, I would have said there's no chance, right? I mean, it was so far-fetched from what I ever thought was humanly possible, and that's why this country is so great. You know, if Mr. Trump is, if we're lucky enough that he wins the election and everything goes well, and that's a long way to go from where we are today, but if that were to happen, you know, I would serve in any capacity he'd want me to, whether that's in Washington, D.C., or if he says, thank you for running my campaign and you know, we've done a good job and we won and now you can go do something else. I would do that too, but I would serve at his pleasure.
Many people recall your mock debate with a cardboard cutout with you know, Governor John Lynch. Did Clint Eastwood steal your act when he had his chat with the empty seat on the stage at the RNC in 2012?
I wish. I mean, look, that would be the greatest form of flattery ever that Clint Eastwood took something that I have done, right? I'm humble enough to know that you know, sometimes you have to do something to draw attention because the issues that we talk about sometimes don't get enough attention, particularly when you're in a state that is so politically active like the state of New Hampshire, and you need to do something to break through that monotony of so many events taking place. And that's why we discussed it. You know, the problem we had in the state at the time was we're trying to kill a small business tax, the LLC tax. We're trying to kill a gas tax, right? Even our great state of New Hampshire, which has a balanced budget requirement, continues to tax people and tax people. And what we see is those small businesses that could be starting in the towns like Windham, Nashua, Salem, they're now moving across the border the other way down to Massachusetts. And that's a real detriment. And we see our people who have great opportunities leaving our state to go and work in Massachusetts, and they end up paying the Massachusetts commuter tax. You know, I live in a bedroom community. A lot of people drive into Boston every day to work. They pay a Massachusetts tax. And so that doesn't help our economy. We need to do something to create jobs. And the purpose of that debate, you know, with the cardboard cutout of Governor Lynch was to raise the awareness of, look, if we give people tax relief, whether it's at the pump or at the LLC or encourage small business to start, our state will be better for it because the live free or die state is starting, unfortunately, to become a lot more like other states where they're starting to just tax us to death.
And finally, Corey, since this is a podcast about inspiring people to follow their dreams, which you are currently living, as you just told me, give some advice to people looking to leap into a new career later in life that really offers no guarantees.
Look, you know, I've been so fortunate and blessed, and, you know, taking a chance on something that many people thought would never be where it is today. And I don't mean that just about Mr. Trump's campaign, because I think we've exceeded a lot of expectations, but just in life. You know, many people could play it safe and go and take a job and stay there for their career and be perfectly happy. I always want more. I always want better. I always want my kids to have better than what I had. Take a chance sometimes. Doesn't mean it's going to work out, but be resilient, right? I mean, look, some of the greatest people in the history of our country who have started massive companies or had unbelievable success, they tried something new. You know, Bill Gates quit college. He quit Harvard to go start a small company called Microsoft. Right? I mean, things that have changed our world have been because people have taken a chance and others have said, you will fail. And maybe you do fail. And maybe you fail 10 times. Maybe you're successful one time. And that one time is all it takes to make people's lives better or make your own life better or your family's life better, to have an opportunity that you never thought existed. Sometimes it's scary and tricky and you don't know what's going to happen. But I say take a chance and hope it works out the best, because if you work hard, you make your own luck, I believe.
Well, you were very kind to share some very personal thoughts, which I know you haven't done that often. Corey Lewandowski, Donald Trump's campaign manager, the best to you and your candidate, and thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Corey, I will send you a link when it goes up live on ManchesterInkling.com, which will probably be within a week or so.
Okay, really appreciate it. Thank you for letting me do this.
Oh, and I thank you, too. It was a great honor. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.